And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Yo, yo, welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And tonight, I'm recording this almost at 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning, so you know, Monday night / Tuesday morning. Lakers Twitter is in shambles. If you know, you know. But I think if you have Twitter, you've probably seen it. There's been a lot of drama going on and a lot of extracurricular activities. So I'm not really going to get into that. Maybe I'll touch on it in the Q&A portion of this podcast. But there was actually a game that was played on Monday night between the Lakers and the Jazz, the second game of the two-game baseball series between LA and Utah. Lakers won the first one in overtime on Saturday, and they did not win this game. Well, on spoiler alert, the Jazz were not fully healthy, still missing Donovan Mitchell, but Rudy Gobert was back in the lineup. Mike Conley was back in the lineup. Derek Favors was back in the lineup. And that version of the Jazz, still missing a star, but closer to being whole than the Lakers are, just was too much for LA to handle. You know, they got downhill at will, scored 52 points in the paint, hit 15 threes, had 29 assists. Really just high-level stuff from the Jazz. This is how Utah plays. They spread you out with a bunch of shooters, and they attack you in different ways because, Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson are going to attack you differently than Joe Ingles and Mike Conley. Like, those guys are attacking to playmake, right? Mike Conley had 14 points, but he also had 10 assists. Joe Ingles had 21 points, but he also had 5 assists. And like, those guys are looking to make the correct basketball play. Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson are just attacking you to get buckets, and they're really good at it. I mean, Jordan Clarkson was their leading scorer. But just the way Utah plays and with spreading you out and then now adding in Gobert and Favors takes away the five-out offense element, but it's not fully gone because those guys are setting such high screens. And if they're setting screens on the sideline, like, sometimes they're kind of hanging back behind the play, so it puts the center in an interesting spot. And I think Utah, I just think they're an interesting matchup for the Lakers because I think, like, I've actually more confidence in their offense against the Lakers than I do their defense. I do think just they don't have great matchups for LeBron and AD. And, I think Rudy Gobert is a good matchup in terms of, like, having a rim protector. But when you're actually putting guys on LeBron and AD, I just don't love their defensive matchups. But offensively, I do think they could hang with the Lakers. I just think, like, when Utah is one of these teams that is very polarizing, where some people are really high on them, some people are really low on them. I do see that the 2014 Spurs element to the offense of just always making the right read, always making the extra pass. I do think that gets a little trickier in the playoffs. I do think that they don't have the same level of top-end talent that those Spurs teams had. Like, I just don't view, even though that team was a little bit older, they'd done it before. They'd done it multiple times before. They'd won championships before, made the finals before. They had that infrastructure. And then they had this young star in Kawhi Leonard who was ascending. And it's apples and oranges. You can't really compare them. That's been a comparison that's been kind of thrown out with this Jazz team. So that's the only reason I'm bringing it up. I think they're interesting. I think they're good. For all that, I still might put them as, like, the fourth best team in the West. I would put the Lakers and the Clippers ahead of them for sure. And I'm really split between them and Utah for that third spot. But I'm really impressed with Utah, with what I've seen, across the three matchups against the Lakers this season. And the Lakers haven't really been whole for any of the three matchups. The first one, they're missing AD. This last one, these last two, they've been missing LeBron and AD. So, it's not we don't really have a full picture of what a Lakers Jazz matchup even looks like. And then, you know, Donovan Mitchell missed these last two as well. So I'm fascinated by this, though, because, you know, as things stand with the loss, the Lakers are now 2.5 games behind the Nuggets, meaning that they're not locked into the five seed. They could still technically drop, honestly. But it is looking like most likely they're probably going to be in that 4-5 matchup and most likely the five seed, but there's still a chance they pass Denver depending on how Denver plays out the rest of their season. You know, they haven't really tailed off yet, but I think it's possible within the last 10-12 games or so. I mean, these two teams could be on a collision course to meet in the second round. Now, Utah has their own issues with, you know, they might not be the one seed. Phoenix is you know, nipping at their heels and is only a game back in the loss column. So Utah is going to have to not win out, but have a really good record closing the season to maintain the one seed. So there's a chance Phoenix ends up as the one seed and they end up playing the Lakers in the second round. But as things stand and as things have looked for the past few weeks, it looks like the Lakers and Jazz are going to match up in the second round. So that gave this matchup some extra weight for me. Now I don't think that, you know, we're going to see a lot of minutes without LeBron or AD on the floor. So in some sense, like, some of this was meaningless. There was no Donovan Mitchell, no LeBron, no AD. But I do think, you know, there were some interesting things. And I think the Jazz's style of offense of, you know, re-driving and just the high pick and roll and the constant ball movement, I do think it really tests the Lakers' defense. You know, I think, again, that the Jazz, I have more confidence in the Jazz's offense than their defense against the Lakers. But from the Lakers' side, THT had a career high 24 points. His shot looked so good tonight. Hit three threes, was 8 of 13 overall. Just, you know, several step backs. Really impressive stuff from THT. Again, it's kind of like, you know, you don't know what you're getting from him on a given night, but it has been more consistent recently. And that, I think, is encouraging. Like, THT is a better player now than he was on Christmas. And we've seen that. Just with his patience, his decision making, his shot selection, and his shot making, and you know, just his confidence, like, it has grown tremendously throughout the season. I would like to see some more consistency with him. Like, that really is my only knock, aside from just becoming a better shooter and a better and more focused off ball defender. But it's also hard for him to be consistent when his role is kind of shifting. You don't really know whose night it is on a given night. It is a by-committee approach for the Lakers right now. So I think once LeBron and AD are back, he might be able to get into a more consistent role, and he'll have, you know, we'll start to see what the rotation looks like, where he is in that pecking order. Is he the eighth man, ninth man, tenth man? Like, we don't really have that answer yet. So that's one thing I'm really looking forward to, is kind of the rest of THT season once LeBron and AD are back. Speaking of AD, AD is progressing. He has been doing on-court work. Frank Vogel said he put in some good work before the game, and there's a strong possibility he's back Thursday against Dallas. And if not Thursday, then almost certainly Saturday against Dallas. So we should be seeing AD by the end of the week, which I think is the most important thing out of all this. Frank also said that LeBron has been doing light on-court work, and he's progressing as well. So didn't update the timetable on LeBron, but I think that is encouraging. And that's really all you can ask for at this point if you're the Lakers. Like, this season has not gone the way you wanted. You should have been healthier. You should have been contending for the one seed or two seed. You should have been in that mix. And you should have, at a minimum, had the continuity and chemistry and reps with your stars and your rotation guys. And you just don't have that now. You know, they're going to go into the postseason having this LeBron AD core, you know, playing less than 40 games together, and that's really tough. You know, I off the top of my head, I can't remember a championship winning team that has had their two stars miss this amount of time in the same season. You know, maybe I'm just forgetting about a team, but off the top of my head, you know, if you really look through NBA history, I can't remember a situation where you're gonna have something like, what, it's gonna be like 60 plus games missed from LeBron and AD combined. Like, I can't remember a season where a team's two star players missed that much time. So, if the Lakers do win the championship this year, it is going to be an unprecedented situation. So at this point, you're just asking for LeBron and AD to return as healthy as possible, as quickly as possible, and get some reps and get some momentum going to the playoffs. And I think that's all you can really ask for.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
To go back to the game, I think the only discouraging part for me was just how easily Utah got downhill and the 52 points in the paint and just the ease with which they scored at times, because the one thing that has been consistent for Lakers throughout this stretch with LeBron and AD in and out of the lineup has been their defense, right? And tonight I felt Rudy Gobert definitely outplayed Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell. Drummond was 3 of 12, 8 points, 8 rebounds in 28 minutes. Just was pretty awful tonight offensively. I think did some good things defensively, had 2 steals. I thought was active. And, I thought, but offensively, missed a couple lobs, fumbled them, wasn't able to finish them, missed some point blank hook shots. And, I think part of that is Rudy Gobert, even though Andre Drummond denied that post game. Frank Vogel kind of almost, kind of said that was the case, that Rudy's a difference maker. He's one of the best defenders in the league, and he's such a big guy that, it makes sense that Drummond would arc his hook shots a little bit higher and try to finish around him instead of through him. But Andre did not have a good game. And that was something I was kind of, initially looking to write off of. And I think Bill or Orem is going to be, writing about it. So he's going to be covering sort of the center spot and AD and stuff. So we kind of figured that out, but I was initially heading into the matchup really interested in the Drummond-Gobert matchup, and it felt like a little bit of a dud because there was a lot of Drummond versus Favors, and they didn't always end up lining up against each other. I mean, of course, starting the first and third quarters, but I thought Gobert, clearly outplayed Drummond, and Drummond didn't have the type of impact that you would have wanted him to have. And then Montrezl Harrell only played 13 minutes. And, he had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 of 4 shooting, was blocked definitely twice, but might've been 3 times. And I just think what this showed to me, from a macro perspective, from a potential series perspective, is this 100% is not a Montrezl Harrell series. And I knew that before the game, because I knew that before they played the Jazz, because, going back as someone who covered the Clippers, I saw Montrezl Harrell really struggled against Rudy Gobert. He's just too big for Montrezl Harrell. And he actually struggles against Derek Favors as well. Derek Favors put up a 20-20 against the Clippers and predominantly Montrezl Harrell in a game last season that I was at in New Orleans. So, this is not a good Montrezl Harrell matchup. And Bill actually asked Frank after the game if Marc Gasol, who has been dealing with some injuries right now, Frank said, and he's a little bit banged up, so they're letting him rest and kind of recover right now. If Gasol were healthy and able to play, if this were a matchup that he would have helped, and Frank said, yeah, that he thinks this specific matchup is more a Mark matchup, a matchup he could help them, and I agree. I think, and really, if you're looking at it for the Lakers, it's an interesting situation where their first two rounds, if you play Denver, Utah, neither one of those is a good Trez matchup. I would make the case you just go Drummond Gasol in both of those matchups, because maybe Trez can go against a smaller unit of JaMychal Green, Paul Millsap, but you do not want Trez on the court against Nikola Jokic or Rudy Gobert. Maybe Derek Favors, you could talk me into it, but again, I would, to me, that's a Marc Gasol matchup. So I'm really I'm interested in that because I do think that the Lakers are going to see some of the limitations of Trez potentially in those first two rounds with how the bracket is shaking up. Because really, if you look at like the worst matchups for Trez of the potential playoff teams are probably Denver and Utah. Like I don't see another, like, it's not the Clippers, it's not Phoenix, it's not Dallas. Like, I mean, some of those matchups have their own issues for Trez in them, but really, like, specifically bigs that can give the Lakers trouble and in turn give Trez trouble, like, it's Denver and Utah, and that's just interesting that those are probably their first two matchups in the playoffs. But yeah, so Trez only played 13 minutes, didn't even have a foul. Like, it was not a foul trouble situation. It was purely he just wasn't playing well against their size. But I think that's enough for the game because, again, like, I mean, like, Lakers got to the free throw line 25 times. I thought that was good. You know, only made 17 of them, shot 68%. Not as good, but they were active in themselves going downhill, drawing fouls, drawing, you know, contact. And, you know, 12 of 28 from the three-point line. 12 made threes is decent. You know, they shot 43%, which is good, but 28 attempts isn't good. Only 10 turnovers. Lakers have actually been taking care of the ball recently a little bit better, which I think has been encouraging. But again, this is not, it's hard to take away much from this entire stretch. And I think that's been the frustrating part of analyzing a lot of this and talking about it, just because we're not going to see lineups without LeBron and AD in the playoffs. Or really, frankly, like, once they're back, just, you know, you just don't see that. And if you do see it, the Lakers are in trouble because they're going to have a tough time beating a Denver or a Utah without LeBron or AD. So I think, I guess this is more about individual performances. And, you know, Kuz had a good game. I think, you know, 17 points, 8 of 13 shooting. Dennis, I thought had a solid game, especially in the second half. Had kind of a quiet start. KCP continues to shoot the ball well, 15 points, 5 threes. So there are some encouraging things. I want to say, like, you know, this Utah team is better than the Lakers. You know, I think without without Donovan, even, they're probably better than this version of the Lakers. And so this isn't a bad loss, you know, in my opinion. But I think some of the encouraging trends from this are getting to the free throw line, taking care of the ball, THT's career night, some of the shooting from KCP, from Kuz, from Dennis. Like, there are some positive trends here. But I do think that this is, in my opinion, a matchup more geared towards Anthony Davis at the five, Marcus Gasol at the five, and maybe not as much Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get into the open forum section. I'm gonna so many questions about Vivian, and I'm gonna stay out of that one, just because I don't like to comment on situations until I know first off, I don't even know the full story. I've seen bits and pieces of it. Second off, like, I think we're still in the process of figuring out the full story. So I don't want to speculate. I don't want to muddy the water any muddier than it is. But I did ask if anybody had questions on Twitter, and I got something like 40-something quote tweets about this situation, and, you know, hundreds of replies. And so let's get into a couple of these. Aaron Labhan asked, "I'll help you out, Jovan. Drummond has been very up and down in performance. Do you think it's him trying to transition to a new team, or does he have genuine limitations? He clearly is not the advertised athletic lob threat like a McGee or Dwight." So this is a good question, Aaron. He's not the advertised athletic lob threat. He has struggled to connect on lobs. I think he's finished, I might be mistaken, but I think he's finished one lob, and that was even like barely him like clearing the rim. So, I mean, Drummond has his limitations. I've talked about it on this podcast. I do think it's mainly his post game, And mainly him, I think, overthinking things around the basket, where it, when he gets deep position, when he can seal, when he just has to turn and fling in a little hook shot, a little floater, or you know, a dunk or a layup, like he can make those plays really easily. He is a he's a physical marvel. He doesn't have that same vertical athleticism that you're referring to, but he's a tank. I mean, he's just like, seeing him in person, he almost looks like proportionally, like it's almost like you combined LeBron and Trez and just made that player bigger. Like, you know, he's got like sort of like the LeBron physique, but then he's also got like, Trez is barrel chested and he's just kind of a thicker, you know, guy. And you combine those two and then make that player taller. And that's Andre Drummond. Like, he's just a big dude. That's why he's in part why he's such a good rebounder. Just he's so strong that he can just move people out of the way. And I think you've seen that with some of his finishing. So I would say it's a combination of, you know, right now the Lakers are depleted offensively. They're not at their, you know, full strength offensively. Having LeBron and AD is going to make Andre Drummond's life so much easier, and it's going to create so many easy scoring and finishing opportunities for him. So I think it's a combination of, you know, a new team, a new system, relatively limited playmaking and passing around him and spacing around him. And you know, also some of his limitations of, he's not the best finisher. He's not that vertical threat. He can overthink things in the post and have bad turnovers or kind of fake himself out and kind of throw up a wild shot around the rim. Like, those are his limitations. So I think it's a bit of everything. But I do think once LeBron and AD are back and they get some reps, they start to get him acclimated, I think it's going to look really good. You know, I don't think he's ever going to necessarily hit the ceiling that some people thought and some people were projecting out. But the Lakers don't need him to, because they still have AD at the five. You can still go to Mark or Trez. Like, you have so many options there that Andre Drummond is not making or breaking the Lakers season, but he can certainly help. I think he has helped, and I think it's only going to get better. Another question. This one's from Bon at Zangerstein. What do you think of Drummond's performance? A possible fit with AD coming back? How about Schroeder's upside now that he has time with Trez, Mark, and Drummond, and best playoff matchups? Okay, so that's three questions in one. Drummond's performance, I just touched on it. I think he's been solid overall, even though it's really just trimming out the post-ups. My only issue with him is the post-ups. I think defensively he's been solid for the most part. A little late sometimes on rotations and contests, but that's, again, fine, especially once you add AD. Fit with AD, I think it's going to be good. You know, because AD's been playing with centers. He's played with Mark. He's played with Trez, JaVale, Dwight. Like, the defensive fit, I think, is going to be fine, especially with what we've seen from Drummond. He's actually impressed me on that end. The offensive fit is the only thing where Drummond is not a Dwight, JaVale, you know, hanging out in the dunker spot, just rolling, hanging out on the weak side. Like, he is a little bit more involved in the offense, be it screening at the top or the post-ups and hanging around the elbows. So I think it's just going to be figuring out, like, he is more active and involved in the offense than any center AD has played with in LA. You know, certainly more than Dwight and JaVale, but I would say even more than Mark. And, you know, Trez, I guess, would be the exception, and AD has played some with Trez, but they haven't played that many minutes. You know, it isn't that big of stints. I think AD is going to end up playing more with Drummond than he is with Trez. So I think figuring that out is going to be a very important thing. You know, I said that recently on a podcast on here, that to me is the most interesting thing with the AD return. It's just how he fits with Drummond and just that whole situation. So that's something I have on my radar. Schroeder's upside, I think he's just going to continue to get better, you know, in terms of pick and roll chemistry. As you said, with Trez, Mark, and Andre, like, it's just a reps thing. It's a continuity thing. It's a chemistry thing. Like, the more he plays with those guys, but especially with AD, I mean, that's the most important pick and roll partner for him. And I think we were starting to see some growth and some progress in that partnership right before AD's injury. And then he's been out for over 2 months. So I'm excited to see that reemerge and see those two have their tango in the pick and roll again. And then last one, best possible playoff matchup. For me, I would say it's Portland. I think if you're looking at realistically, it's probably Denver, the Clippers, Portland, and Dallas. Those are the four realistic first round playoff opponents for the Lakers. You know, I think the Lakers are going to be somewhere between 4 and 6. Right now, I'd probably say 4 and 5. But you know, they do have a little bit of a range there. And depending on what happens with Denver and the Clippers in terms of the 3-4 battle, and then also Portland and Dallas in terms of the 6-7 battle, but also potentially the 4-5 battle, depending on if the Lakers and Nuggets slide, or if Portland or Dallas goes on a winning streak or something to end the season. Like, there's still a shuffling of the standings that could happen. So looking at those four teams, I personally think Portland is the weakest. I just think Dallas, like, I saw that movie last postseason, Luka Doncic against Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Pat Beverly, whatever the Clippers threw at him, just was unstoppable, was the best player in that series for large stretches of it. And for that being his first postseason, I just think Luka is going to be at another level, and frankly, a higher level than Dame. And for as good as Dame is, I think we've seen the Lakers, we saw the Lakers contain him last postseason. We've seen the Lakers contain him in the regular season. I think the Lakers have a blueprint to slow down and shut down Dame, and they do probably have more weapons around him this season. But the defense is god awful, you know, bottom two in the league right now. And you know, Nurkic can help that, but I'm kind of out on Portland. And now, you know, my colleague Jason Quick of The Athletic, you're reporting that Terry Stotts could be on the hot seat after the season, depending on how things go. Like, I just think that's kind of a weird situation right now, and I would take Portland over Dallas, despite Dallas's inconsistency. I just think Dallas has a higher ceiling than Portland does. And then Denver, you could maybe talk me into Denver, but I just think, again, Jokic is probably going to win the MVP. He's playing at a crazy level. Even without Murray, like, they have a lot of size and length and some athleticism in the front court that I think can match the Lakers to an extent. You know, I would not pick Denver to win a, you know, I'm not picking anybody to win a series against the Lakers, but I just think Denver could maybe win a game. Like, I think Denver could win a game and maybe even win two games, whereas, like, Portland, I think, is probably just getting swept. You know, Dallas is probably getting swept, maybe wins. And I don't know, maybe Denver can't even win two games. Maybe that's also a sweep. But I almost go by sometimes just best player in the playoffs, and for me, it's, I'd go Jokic, then Doncic, then Dame. And so that would make me want to play Portland. And then, of course, the Clippers is probably the team I'd least want to play if I'm the Lakers. You know, play them in the conference finals, but don't play them in the first round. So those are my thoughts on the playoff matchups. You'd, of course, love to play like Golden State or Memphis or you know, the 8 seed, basically. But that's not, you know, that's not happening. So I think for the Lakers right now, Portland is probably their best realistic matchup. The small guards aren't beating LeBron and AD. I just don't see it. But thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JovanBuha. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, The Athletic. If you have not subscribed to The Athletic, you can go to theathletic.com or subscribe off of my social media, off of one of my stories. That would help me out and be much appreciated. Thank you guys as always. I'm Jovan Buha, the real Jovan Buha, and thank you guys for listening.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.